Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Oh, benchwarmers, aren't you glad you don't live in Dallas right now? Or Philly, one of those two places. NFC East is kind of a black hole. If you live in one of those places, I mean, Philly, you already know.
You did it to yourself.
You're going to catch a lot of strays on this show. You're not going to get a whole lot of nice from this show. But if you're I don't hate the people who live in Dallas. I hate the fact that they always say that it's the Cowboys' year when it's not. That's what I really hate about it. But other than that, I mean, I feel if we have bench warmers out in Dallas, I feel for you. I want you. I thought you had it. I thought you had it. That was my swing. I thought, oh, the Packers. That's. We were listening to it because I kind of felt like, in fairness, I wanted you to hear, so I wasn't making up what my picks were. We'll talk about standings and everything like that moving forward into the show. But welcome everybody. We're live again. I think this is how we're going to roll through the playoffs. I mean, why not? We had last 2 years, the Bengals have been going on playoff runs where I would do live shows after the games. No playoff run this year for either of our teams, so we don't have that many live streams coming up. But the playoffs, I feel like we did that with the NFL, NHL, NBA. I know that it's usually our team, but the NFL playoffs are the monster of them all. Yeah, I know you're a basketball guy, but $27 million on Christmas Day.
I know.
3.5 million was like the highest of the.
I know. It's out there. It's America's sport. There's zero denying that. It's America's sport. It's not the world's sport, and neither is basketball, but it's second. So that's all I'll have to that. It's all I'll have to that.
All right. It took a little bit to get here, but this is episode 168 of Far End of the Bench. We are live here on the Far End of the Bench YouTube channel. If you're watching this, the replay will be on our YouTube channel as well as the Variety Sports Network YouTube channel. So wherever you're watching, subscribe, like, go to the other page, watch the video, subscribe, like, go to our social medias, follow. I think we said we're at 475 on the VSN page. We're at 127. We could hit 130 when they hit 500. I mean, we love everybody that's tuned in so far, but playoffs is when we need to start hunkering down. March Madness is going to be coming up soon. March Madness,
Greg, the real show. The GCU Lopes have the best, yes, you heard that correct, best record in college basketball right now, ladies and gentlemen. Yikes. I just want to point that out. 16-1.
That's a yikes.
That's not a yikes. That's a massive W. Massive W. And we'll have a number next to our name here in the next couple weeks. So March Madness is right around the corner. And I know we can't wait. And Madness too.
And be sure to follow at FEOTB Pod on all social medias. And if you listen on audio, we're on all the audio platforms. I double check every week, make sure that they all upload. So anywhere you want to catch the show and catch the other stuff that we do with the Variety Sports guys, sometimes it's just one of the two of us doing a live stream. Sometimes we jump on other shows. I've been a co-host. Figured out this is our second full season of Talking the Gridiron. This is also our first season of doing that into the playoffs. We have a panel of about four of us. Rev joined back this past week. And then Jordan and Darren and myself have been kind of the steady presences on that show. You've been a guest on after one of the Broncos' big wins. So if you haven't listened to those episodes, be sure to check those out. And as always, follow at FEOTB Pod and follow at Variety_Sports_. Nico, I think that it's we're just forewarning everybody. This is going to be a football heavy episode. We're also don't think that we're going live just because I'm lazy and I don't want to have to edit stuff and put it out. I'll answer this for the people watching the video. Did I do it because I'm lazy? No, of course not. I would never sacrifice for the bench warmers like that. I would always do that. If you're watching, you'll understand the irony of that. Be sure to check out both on the YouTube and on where any audio platform that you're listening to. But let's talk about these super wild card weekend results and recap. A couple surprises. We both scored 20 points. So each game that we got correct last week was worth 5 points. We each went 4-2. You picked correctly the Texans. We both picked the Chiefs. I picked the Packers. I put that Cowboys in there totally wrong.
Cowboys.
Because the Lions defeated the Rams. So I'm making that correction.
Yeah, people will realize as you're going to listen to the show today that there are some darlings that I am in love with and I like. Look, we like to call mid-major madness, and I like mid-city madness is like we like to call it. I'm sick and tired of these big-time, big schools, big teams, big franchises winning all this shit. So, look, there's a reason why I picked Detroit. There's a reason why I picked Houston. The reason why I picked I should have picked the fucking Packers, but yeah, I picked the Cowboys for whatever reason. And, look, all I'm going to say is, I already have two Super Bowl futures. I will get to those here in a little bit. But this weekend showed me a lot.
I am not in.
Is all I'm going to say.
This weekend, here's the issue with Wild Card Weekend is the fact that the top teams get byes. So I think that we get enamored with what we saw, but the top teams that aren't playing this past weekend, they're damn good football teams also. They got the week of rest because they were that good. And it was what the Baltimore Ravens needed because they've been one of the most injured teams. I don't think that they have that many this year, but over the past however many, they always seem to get hurt. Lamar, up until he got his new contract, always was out by week 8. Now everything's there. This is similar to that 2019 run where Tennessee went in and beat them in the second round because it was an AFC South team. That time it was a wild card team. It wasn't the division winner, but it was an AFC South team, a quarterback that was just – putting people in the right spots and the defense that wouldn't quit, a head coach that used to be a player, so he knows how to motivate his guys and win in positions that they shouldn't. Now, that Titans team was coming off beating Tom Brady, Bill Belichick in the last game that they ever played in a New England uniform. This team is coming off beating a sleepy Joe Flacco. I mean, he threw two picks. Tell me you want to get out of playing more than throwing back-to-back pick sixes.
I saw a statistic that Joe Flacco had never lost in the divisional round in his career, never lost in the divisional round, or the wild card round, excuse me, not the divisional, the wild card round in his career. But he also had not played a playoff game in 9 years. That was the other statistic that people forgot to mention. It was a storm was a brewing, and it was about time that he got exposed the way he was. And look, I love what D'Amico Ryan's, and we'll touch on like if he should be coach of the year, and I really do think he's coach of the year because look what this Texas team did. They're a team that was literally drafting second overall last year. They not only made the playoffs, not only won their division, they beat a team in the playoffs. They have a win, and now they're going to the second round. It's a remarkable what teams like this do. And look, they built it the right way, right? You got rid of the cancer. And I don't even need to say the cancer's name because he was on the other sideline saying like, you motherfucker, CJ Stroud, you did what I could have done. Yeah, and he probably did it a lot better. Look, the behind CJ Stroud, behind a great running game, behind a really, really good young up-and-coming receiver too. Nico Collins, Tank Dell and company, like they have some very, very good weapons for him, and that helps him a lot. Dalton Schultz, a veteran guy at tight end, like they have everything you want. Then you have the pass rush of Will Anderson, who was arguably like probably the best player in last year's draft that was non-quarterback wise, and he is that good off the edge. And their DBs, they structured it well last year by taking Stingley and top five picks. They're building it the right way. They're absolutely building it the right way. And the Browns are the team that did not build it the right way. They tried to, because let's not forget, the only person to win a playoff game for the Cleveland Browns is the number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, in the most recent history. That's the most and recent quarterback
in the playoff. A playoff game recently, oh, too?
He did. Yeah, he must have. He might have upset the team that represented the NFC last year. Crazy. But yeah, the Browns may have – like, look, we say Russell Wilson was screwed here, and we can say it was one of the dumbest trades in the history of all trades. If you see what the Texans are doing with what they got from Deshaun Watson, I mean, it's the buffoonery of all heights. Like it's absolutely laughable what that team has turned that into.
Yeah, there's no more need to massage the situation. I do want to point out that you said something earlier where I was going to throw in another joke, but I restrained myself. But I can't help it. So Browns go down to the Texans 45-14 off the back of two.
No shot. Wasn't even close.
There was a couple times similar to when we get to the Sunday games and start talking about the Cowboys and the Packers. How you're in the NFL, right? You get paid millions of dollars to study film and know the scheme and know what your coverages are on defense. Now, this is coming. I know somewhat how to read coverages because that's what they try and teach you in college offensive line. That's like the next step, be able to identify blitzes from where people are lining up and what coverage they're running. The Cowboys and the Browns had no idea. And this Browns defense. So this is what I said on Talking the Gridiron. I want to bring this up too. A lot of people, when we see how teams end, we kind of forget the issues. Why? So when teams are winning to make the wild card round, well, what were those issues back at the beginning of the season? Why they were struggling and having to win to get in? Was it injuries early on? Kind of. I mean, Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb, you have those two players. Who knows if your offense is able to do a little bit more, but Houston came out. It looked like it was going to be Houston's to lose. This team is bad on the road. This defense that we talked about so highly is bad on the road. They give up about 30 points a game. I didn't realize that stat until afterwards and watching it back, but the analyst that I was watching said it really well. The playoffs don't get rid of all your holes. Actually, your holes become twice the size. So hopefully you've kind of figured your stuff out before you make it to the playoffs, because if you have any bent point in your armor, anything like that, it's going to be exposed. And that's what we saw with the Browns. I think a lot of their secondary. That's something that we can also talk about. But damn, 45 points.
I think the three biggest shockers of the weekend, and I think not biggest shockers, but like biggest like upsets, quote unquote, were obviously the Texans, the Packers, and then even going forward, you can say the Buccaneers, and all three exposed an offensive line. And look, I'll even say, transition, this is the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers dominated the Eagles' offensive line. And I mean, dominated. I watched Jalen Hurts start 8 yards back, 9 yards back in the pocket every play. Every play. That look, there is something that goes to dominating the line of scrimmage. There's a reason. Look, Jason Kelce has a hell of a career, one of the best centers of all time, first ballot Hall of Famer, all this, that, and the other thing. It is time, buddy, because look, that offensive line, and look, Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line guy for the Eagles, who actually, funny enough, you and I met way back when he was in Miami. God knows his stuff. He's built the best offensive line in football multiple years.
Bonafide guru.
But if there's one thing that Stoutland saw with this offensive line, it was how do you start every single play 1 yard, the line of scrimmage being 1 yard behind? Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea, and company just made Lane Johnson, Leighton Dickerson, Jason Kelce start with their on their heels the whole game. Jalen Hurts did not have any clean pockets to work with and did not start within 5 yards. Like, I look, there's very, very few football games I've ever seen where the line of scrimmage and the quarterback drops so far back that you're really figuring out, like, what is going on? Like, it's that far behind. Look, when you pass pro set, and Jimmy, you know this better than anyone, when you pass pro set, you give up some room, but you don't give up 2 or 3 yards. It's 1 yard at max, and you go and you make contact. You give up 3 yards, you're already sitting in the QB's lap. Like Jalen Hurts was forced – 8 to 10 yards back every damn play, backing up and passing. And when you're behind like that, your defense isn't producing and not getting any tackles, literally just ghost tackling out there. Like, it was just a recipe for absolute disaster. And look, I'm not going to sit here blame the coaching, because I don't think Sirianni is the problem. Because look, when you tackle as bad as the Eagles did, as bad as the Browns did, as bad as the Cowboys did, you're not winning a playoff football game. Plain and simple. Like it takes 11 hats on the ball, at minimum 9 to 10, especially in the playoffs. Like poor angles, poor tackling, poor all that, and it leads to results like these teams had.
Yeah, we can move over to the Buccaneers game too, because I think I've said all I wanted to say about the Texans. This Eagles offensive line is they're good, and they were good for those first 11 weeks of the season. I can stand here, and I think I can agree with you that maybe Nick Sirianni wasn't the problem. But here's where he's probably more on the hot seat, and why Philly fans are not necessarily overreacting. Hey, don't dump a box of popcorn on me as I'm running out of the tunnel, but just hear me out. Hear me out, okay? Could he be part of the solution? What is he going to do on the sidelines that's going to help? Is he going to inspire the guys to go tackle faster by playing a quick – quick rock, paper, scissors. I'm not going to do that where you can see it in the camera. By playing a quick rock, paper, scissors game, like, come here, Lane. I know that you're getting beat off the ball every play. I know it's bad. It's not going well. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, now you're fired up. Now you're ready to go. Go out there. Get it. So maybe he wasn't the issue, but could he be part of the solution? And I don't think that wasn't the case. I think now with Vrabel being on the market, that's a guy that if you want toughness in Philly, Vrabel would be a decent replacement. I mean, there's other guys that are out there. Belichick would be hilarious if it happened. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if he coaches. But
speaking of Belichick, like, did you see who the defensive coordinator fucking was?
They thought they wanted Sean Desai out of there so bad, and then they put up with Matt Patricia for 3 weeks, and they're like, "What the fuck?"
What is this? I don't know who the hell thought. You know what? Patriots for so long were so damn good. Let's just rehire every single assistant coach possible until we fucking can't anymore. And that's what the Eagles did. What the Raiders did.
Miney, rocket scientist.
I mean, it is absolutely crazy. When I saw Patricia on the sideline, because I didn't know Patricia was a defensive coordinator until like literally I was watching the game, and I saw him on the sideline. I was like, oh, now it makes sense. Now I see why they're taking poor angles. Now I see why they're not wrapping anything up. Pause. The guy was an offensive coordinator last year somewhere else. He was a defensive coordinator in New England. He killed the Detroit Lions. And look what they did in literally 3 years after him, bringing in a coach that fucking means something. Like that is crazy. It is absolutely crazy that this man still has a fucking job. Like I said, look, if Tom Brady isn't the GOAT, like, look, I'm a Peyton guy. I will say I'm a Peyton guy. If Tom Brady isn't the GOAT for fucking making Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels have jobs for years and years after they were done, after he was retired, I don't know what it is. Because
that's how you know you're a legendary quarterback, because Manning has Shermer. Pat Shermer.
Shermer, yeah. Shermer was horrendous too. Got him multiple jobs. I mean, it's crazy.
Everywhere.
It's absolutely crazy.
Who is the coach? Damn it, I wish Dom was down here. Who is the coach of the Jets? Gase. Adam Gase was the other coach that Peyton kept around so long. So long. Way longer than they should have been. But Trevor Siemian had no shot. No chance at it. You got no chance. No chance in hell.
So funny. It is really hilarious how terrible these coordinators become. And people think that, you know what, like, we got a fucking Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in our back pocket. Like, they can do that for us. No, they you're Tom Brady in the back pocket is fucking Cartman laying down on the sidewalk. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That's literally who Pat Patricia is, like 10 years older. Like, it's Cartman in human form. That is him.
But man, I didn't get to finish my pumpkin yet.
The conversation's going to start, especially because he got paid. Was Jalen Hurts a problem? I know that he was getting zero time, but if you're paying a guy as much as you're paying him, I know that that's not his skill set to win from the pocket. But sometimes, what do we say about Lamar early on in his career when the Chargers went in and shut him down with Phil Rivers, of all people? If you can't throw, then you can't really win in the playoffs. You got to run the ball. You got to win the line of scrimmage, which they were not doing, but you got to be able to throw out of those situations. But that was also coaching, because the play calling, I didn't see a receiver in the middle of the field except for one play when Devontae Smith caught a ball down the center.
Jimmy, they had one offensive weapon that they used all night. It was Devontae Smith, right?
That was the best performance he's had since that national championship we called.
I will second that and say he did give me 40 points in fantasy either this year or last year. I forgot what it was, so maybe that may be slightly wrong. But look, he was the whole offense. He was the whole offense. Like, they did not have AJ Brown. When you have your number one receiver out, what is the logical thing to do, Jimmy? Run the fucking ball.
Yeah, that would be a very good.
DeAndre Swift, who at the beginning of the year was your workhorse. He was your offense. DeAndre Swift was a top five running back in football the first 4 or 5 weeks of the year because of how many touches he was getting and how many yards he was getting. Like, he was that good. Just to completely obliterate that. And like I said, I know we talked about – I just talked about the offensive line, but, like, when the defense knows that you're going in pass for every fucking play, I mean, it gets harder and harder to slow down. is all I'm gonna say. Because guys like Shaq Barrett, who's a Super Bowl champion here, Super Bowl champion with the Buccaneers, two-time Super Bowl champion, like, can just tee off on Lane Johnson. Because you know what? I think I'm going to do a swim move. I'm gonna do a spin rush. I think I'm a bull rush. Like, it's literally a choose because you're not playing the run. When you don't play the run at all, you negate a whole side of your offense. And Sirianni and that offense just decide, you know what? Our defense can't get a stop. Play simple. Our defense can't get a stop. So you know what? Let's completely eviscerate our game plan and just say, Jalen Hurts, go throw it to fucking Omar Kareem Zaccheaus out there as the number two receiver, okay? Go throw it to anybody. But yeah, that's right. You don't have your number one receiver either. It was a horrible, horrible game plan. Look, we're saying a lot of bad things about the Eagles. Baker Mayfield played also a perfect game.
300 yards, 3 passing touchdowns.
Baker Mayfield played like the number one pick of 4 years ago, whatever, 5 years ago, whatever the hell it was. Like, he played a perfect game. And look, when you have the weapons he has, that's how you use them. You look at Mike Evans. You look at Chris Godwin. You look at Ronald Jones, Rashard Jones, or whatever the fuck it is. Like, you look at all these weapons, and they use them all. They use them all. And the Eagles just blatantly said, nope, Jalen Hurts, go do it. Just go do it. We don't care about anything else. Poor tackling, poor everything else. Jalen Hurts, go win the football game. And obviously he couldn't.
I'm glad that we said that, because the Buccaneers deserve credit. They are into the divisional round. They're division champion. So they proved why they're there. They proved that they weren't just some charity case. They were able to move on. Baker had that 3-touchdown game. They ran for almost 120 yards as a team, and their defense was just all over the place. Philly didn't want to be in that game. No. That's the worst effort I've seen from Philly since that Doug Peterson meltdown on Sunday Night Football, where he was legitimately shaving points in front of the country, and we're like, what is he doing here? That's illegal. You can't do that. Let's move back to Saturday, talk about the coldest game, I guess.
It's the fourth coolest game of all time. Yes,
the Freezer Bowl in Cincinnati still reigns supreme, but I've never seen that thing with the water bottle before.
Oh, I told the story last week about the fucking the cheesesteak, but the video of the water bottle coming out of the freezer, that was one of the wildest things I've ever seen.
Never seen that before, like, ever in my life.
It was cold this week. It was very cold this weekend, but I could not imagine standing out there and just being like, "Yeah, let's go enjoy the Chiefs and a Chiefs football game in this way." Taylor Swift did it, so why can't I? Maybe all those people were like, "You know what? Taylor's there. I'm doing it." That was their thought process, I guess.
There you go. Taylor Swift was in a luxury box, luxury suite. Yeah. She got. What you think that she didn't bring heaters? You think that she doesn't get one of those jet fuel heaters?
Kyle and Kelsey would have stood outside. That's all I'm going to
say. Yeah, she would have. She would have, yeah. I don't know if you have a rule about betting on the Chiefs or not, but when I saw that water bottle, if I was a gambling man, I would have been like, whatever the Chiefs are. Yeah. I wouldn't say the under. The under, yes, from the weather, but like, there's no way the Dolphins want to play now. The Dolphins are like, what? And if we win, we got to go where?
No.
It's too cold.
The Dolphins never stood a chance. I feel bad for them because they were a team that was – look, joke about the 70-20 win all you want, but, like, this team was a Super Bowl favorite at the beginning of the year. Like, they were a team that people were saying could run at the Chiefs to win the AFC and be a favorite in the AFC to go on and win the Super Bowl. And this team just – I mean, like, look, that last game of the year is going to bite them in the ass. They're going to remember that game more than anything because they had that game. You're at home to win the division, Sunday Night Football, and you lay an egg. And the Buffalo Bills come in with as the hottest team in football right now, come in and whoop your ass, and then you got to go play in one of the coldest football games in the history of the NFL. Like that's as crushing of a blow as you could have gotten. You were a one win away from hosting a playoff game, more than likely hosting two playoff games as the 2 seed in the league. And then you go out here and you host one. You go to Kansas City in below 20 weather, negative 20 weather, and you just have a miserable time. And Tua's out here asking for Mahomes' fucking jersey in the playoffs. I feel bad for
you. You didn't just bring that up. No.
I saw it. I saw it. And look.
He's going to use his jujitsu on you. You better watch out.
It was. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very, very funny. All the memes for him. Yeah, this fucker really just lost probably the biggest game of his career. Yeah, maybe the national championships were bigger, but this is close. Lost one of the biggest games of his career, and he's out here. You know what, Patty? Can I get your jersey? Can Taylor sign it for me too? I would have been sick to my stomach if I was a Dolphins fan. That's all I'm going to say. Sick to my stomach if my QB was out here enjoying that. Here, Patty, please. No, that's some fucking grits.
Mr. Mahomes, please. Mr. Mahomes, hi. And if you're going to ask in that way, you damn well better get that jersey. You can't you can't get big time like that. Oh, I'm sorry. I promise this to somebody else. I promise this to a better player than you, Tua. I'm not going to give you this jersey. Ha ha. You can't come in my clubhouse. Boys rule, girls drool. The question now starts circling because the Dolphins are volatile coaches. I'm not saying this is my feelings, but you know the question is going to be raised. How much longer do you give McDaniel?
Well, McDaniel easily has a job next year. That's not even a question.
Yeah, next year. Yes, but after.
If they don't compete for the division next year, then he'll be gone. If they compete for the division, they're not going to, unless some big name is out there. And I think the biggest names in the head coaching search were this year, if I'm being honest with you, right? I think Vrabel, Belichick, Carroll, if he wants to come back, like, I think the biggest names in the coaching search for this year, unless the Dolphins throw an absolute stinker out next year, he'll coach for at least two more years. Because I think those players rally around him, and I think that the Dolphins – I hate saying this, but the Dolphins like to play how they're playing right now, and McDaniel coaches it better than anybody. The speed they have and the way he coaches that offense, there is zero denying that this team, if they were put in good circumstances, heck, normal fucking weather, they probably make that a game. And that's one of the best teams in football in the Kansas City Chiefs go head-to-head with. So, like I said, I McDaniel is nowhere near on the hot seat as opposed to some of these other coaches that's lost this weekend. I would put it as – cool, not cold, not warm, but cool. A nice
You've been
and
sitting
cool.
there a while.
It's been sitting there. It's cool.
You've been in the chair. If you get up, people will know that you've been sitting there. That's how hot his seat is. With the Chiefs, I think that we should mention they did play one of the better offensive games. Mahomes, I don't know if you knew this, but Patrick Mahomes, he scrambled for 41 yards this weekend, and he passed Marcus Allen, Hall of Fame running back, for leader in playoff rushing yards in franchise history.
Not franchise, but NFL history, because Marcus Allen never played for the Chiefs, I don't think.
Yeah, he did. The Raiders. Yeah. Marcus Allen was on the Chiefs for the last two years of his career.
Oh, then
that's why he had the record, because it was with Marty Schottenheimer. He loved Marcus Allen because Marty Schottenheimer didn't – he was there with Joe Montana when Joe Montana was on the Chiefs. Don't get into the old 90s football with me.
You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. You're pretty. I'm ugly.
I was right. You were wrong. That's the, I think, second or third Happy Gilmore reference I've had on a show in the past couple of weeks. I guess we can throw the same one out there. Is Mike McCarthy, I feel like we're going to get that Happy Gilmore situation where goes up and Jerry Jones is like, I'm leaving you. What? I can't stay here anymore. And then he's standing at the intercom. Baby, come on. I love those little finger pains you bring home. All right, beat it. Who needs you? I don't care. Oh, but come back, please. The Cowboys. This is the most we're going to talk about you over the next however many months. But the Cowboys, even still, we're getting ready for the divisional round. But the way that they came out there and wilted against this young, hungry Green Bay Packers team, you're still the biggest story in sports. So you're still getting talked about more than the games coming up.
Jimmy, the Green Bay Packers have more playoff wins in Jerry's world than the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, they do. And they also won a Super Bowl there.
It's wild. It is unbelievably wild. It's all I'm going to say. Look, Jordan Love is the fucking man. He's the man.
He's pretty good.
All I'm going to say is I did say like 8 to 9 weeks ago that the Packers were going to be in the playoffs. I did say that.
We both said that they were out, I think, week 17, but they won. They were in.
They won. They got in. And look, I feel bad for Bears fans, Vikings fans, hell, even Lions fans now, because I'm not calling Aaron Rodgers.
You're getting away with this.
You've got to be defeated. Like, you got to say, fuck, this sucks again. Like, are you kidding me? This is the youngest team in the NFL. You just got rid of your Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, I – I just feel so bad. I feel so bad. I don't know if I feel bad worse for you and the Browns and the Browns Ravens, because the Steelers can't have a losing season, or the Packers for just recuperating quarterback after quarterback. I would say probably the quarterback might be worse.
Because
you can still deal with them being second in the division, third division. But having a fucking generational quarterback every single year is so, so, so tough. Like, it's unbelievably tough. And I feel bad for them. But luckily the Lions are in a good spot, but Packers, man, Cowboys, McCarthy won another playoff game for the Packers. Congratulations. Maybe adding to his legacy. But I don't know how Jerry Jones can sit there and be like, unless Bill tells me no, I don't know how I'm not hiring Bill. I really don't. Like, I you have the roster. Like, you have the roster. I don't know if unless Bill told him.
But does his roster like each other?
No. Yeah, but like it's a much better roster than he's going to get anywhere else playing. It's going to be the best roster he had since 2019, Brady. Like, the roster would be much, much better than anything he's had. It could be more fun. Like, unless Belichick said no, I would not. I guess I would bring McCarthy back, because like I don't know. I don't think that they're high on Vrabel for whatever reason, because Jerry Jones has realized that if you don't play Jerry Jones style football, you're not going to be a Dallas Cowboy. It's the whole I'm better than you, but we're not that good whole shtick. Like
we're really trying.
It's the my way or the highway, and that's the unfortunate thing for Cowboys fans, because as long as Jerry Jones is ahead of things, doesn't matter who the coach is, he's going to be second fiddle. He doesn't run everything. He stares at the offensive corner. He stares at the defensive corner and watches them call plays. He's the one that says that has Jerry Jones and his fucking microphone on his headset, being like, "You fucker, better run this right now." Or, "Hey, start giving CD the ball. Hey, run a blitz on third down." Like, it's a whole shtick that is just gone, and unfortunate, because the Cowboy way is dead. It's been dead.
It's been dead since Jimmy Johnson got fired. I know that they won another one with Barry Switzer, but that was just the roster talent. You had Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith on your offense. You were good. You were pretty good, whether Barry Switzer was the coach or Jimmy Johnson. But after that, the Cowboys are a travesty. For our entire lifetime, Nico, our entire lifetime, every football season, there's some random-ass Cowboys fan that gets a Super Bowl champion tattoo at the beginning of the year because he knows this is the boys' year, and I hear Whedon boys from about August till about January. Super Bowl's in February, guys. I don't know if they know that. I feel the same way talking about the Cowboys that I feel talking about the Maple Leafs when we talk hockey. You realize there's more than one round of the playoffs, right? Progressively harder as it goes.
The person who should be on the hot seat is Dan Quinn, because I've never seen a great –
That was bad.
I've never seen as good of a regular season performer as Dan Quinn, and as bad of a postseason reporter as Dan Quinn. Like, let's not forget, yeah, he beat the Broncos 50-2, wherever the fuck it was, in 2012. But playoff performer Matt Ryan was in the prime of his career winning MVPs, didn't win a Super Bowl. Julio Jones, prime of his career, one of the best receivers this generation, didn't win anything. Cowboys, top five defense, lays a fucking egg. It's a Jordan Love. I mean, like this is an all-time bad playoff performer.
Receivers running booty butt naked open. That tight end had to stop, wait for the ball. He caught it and still scored because nobody was in 30 yards of him when he caught that duck of a ball. Jordan Love couldn't put anything on that because he was getting hit by five guys. But they didn't leave anybody. There was no safety on a tight end wheel route.
Dan Quinn would be the number one projected head coaching candidate if it was based off of regular season performances. He's not even a fucking consideration right now for anything because of what he does in the playoffs. Not even considering anything.
Yeah, he's not getting another job anytime soon. The Packers, I think it's good for them. And what it does is I think it solidifies Matt LaFleur as he can coach. It wasn't just Aaron Rodgers, because this team, nobody expected them. And on Talking the Gridiron, we said it. We put them on our list of teams that were dead. They were on our list for like 6 weeks, including that little playoff win or the win streak that they had when they were like, they're coming. They're getting up there. And that was I could see them. I picked them as my wild pick last week. It ended up doing me well. But I saw them winning by a field goal maybe. Now the Cowboys scored a ton of points in garbage time, and that's where they put up all their stats and all their numbers, which is why all their here's the crazy thing. We're talking about all this movement in Dallas. It might just stay the same. Jerry Jones might just say,
I would not be surprised.
Who cares? Let's go.
It really has been the last couple of years. They're like, let's stay the same. Like, we haven't seen big moves. We really haven't. Like, if they're going to make a big move this offseason, there's one person, in my opinion. And this could affect our whole offense, and it's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's a free agent. If you add Derrick Henry to this offense, I'm not saying it's a fucking unreal situation, but I think that this may help them out a ton because this team's way too dependent on Dak in the playoffs. And when you're way too dependent on a guy that's giving out interceptions like Ellen DeGeneres giving out gifts or Oprah Winfrey giving out gifts for the crowd.
Play of offense, man.
I mean, like, you have to give some stability, and getting Derrick Henry back there at his old age, I don't know if he's able to do it, but it may help. So that's their big move, because I can highly doubt that Jerry Jones looks at this roster and be like, let's run it back. Like, they'll change something. I just highly doubt that they won't make a big move, because I think Jerry Jones is sick and tired of this shit.
Roger, hold on. I just got a question for you. How many times are you allowed to induct one person into your Hall of Fame? Because I'm bringing back the entire 90s Cowboys roster. We're going to induct all of them. Every single game is an induction game, because that's the only time I can get my team to win. Okay? And we're doing it in the playoffs too. I just want to make sure you understood that. Thank you. Goodbye. I think that's what he's going to do. How many times can I induct Jimmy Johnson into the Cowboys Ring of Fame? How many? Just one?
They barely did it once. They barely did it once.
He got the Hall of Fame last year, and Jerry's like, oh, the NFL got him, but I can't? No. That ain't how this works. Jerry Jones is a bad – he's a control freak. He looks at his own son, who he's told his entire life, like, you're taking over the team when I die. And the son's like, okay, you're 90. He's like, I ain't going nowhere. I'm sitting in this chair until I die in the chair.
I'm never going to wish death on anybody, but when Jerry Jones dies, they already have holograms ready for him to be around Jerry's world. Remember that? Remember that story?
Steven, come over here.
Cowboys Stadium ready for people to talk to Jerry in 30 years. It's wild. Control Freak is when you – look up the word control freak. Jerry Jones' picture is right there.
And in the little animated videos I watch, he's Emperor Palpatine, which is so fitting because he's blinded so much by his own ambition, he can't see that he's his biggest obstacle. There's a little philosophy for everybody. I do have to teach philosophy as a social studies teacher. Two more games to get to. We've already kind of touched on it, but the Rams lose to the Lions 24-23. Matt Stafford loses the homecoming game, and the Lions win their first playoff game in 33 years. That looked like I would not just travel to Michigan to watch a Lions game, but that looks like a very fun atmosphere to be.
It is indoors.
Parking, walking in, walking back out.
It's a 5-10 minute deal.
You sound like my Uber girlfriend, and I don't know if that's okay.
All I'm gonna say is, look, that is as close to a college basketball, college football playoff situation in the NFL, as we'll see. I cannot say enough good things about what Detroit did for that team, and to stand on the back of that team chanting Jared Goff every single third down. You couldn't hear Stafford call play in the huddle. Like, it was an unreal atmosphere. And the crazy thing is, now they get another home playoff game. They get back to back. And
Philadelphia.
Thank you Dallas.
Oh, thank you. Thank you Dallas.
I would have loved to see that rematch with Dallas after the whole touchdown by the tackle in the end zone old debacle. But look, Detroit deserves another playoff game, and I'm so happy to see this team flourishing. Like I said, Jared Goff was written off. Dan Campbell was on the 0-16 Detroit Lions. This team built it the perfect way: offensive line, running game, good defense. And that's exactly what Dan Campbell exemplifies to an absolute T. So, and look, the Lions are weirdly enough, one of my futures to win the Super Bowl because I saw a plus 1300 ticket and I said
it was Eminem singing Lose Yourself on the Jumbotron, wasn't it?
It was Eminem, it was Kid Rock singing to me, singing all summer long. It was
was Insane Clown Posse there? I'm sure they were there.
It was Calvin Johnson telling Stafford, "Hey, I need a couple from you. Touchdowns, no, interceptions to your former quarterback." Yeah. It was Calvin Johnson, it was Barry Sanders. It was fucking ninja. I mean, like, I feel it. I feel it. I don't know what it is. I feel it. This team is the favorite to go to the fucking NFC Championship, Jimmy, in this game. Let's not forget, they are the favorite to walk into the NFC Championship game, possibly host it. Just possibly. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know. We'll get to those picks later. Possibly host it. Like, unbelievably wild that they're at this point after what they've turned around. And look, it's an all kudos to Dan Campbell. If you guys didn't watch, if you're a listener, didn't watch the Hard Knocks from last year, I would recommend going back to watch it because everything Dan Campbell was saying, people were laughing at it, being like, what the fuck? Like, and that team.
Knock us down, we're going to come up. We're going to bite you. We got to bite the kneecap off. We're going to do it.
And hell, I would get up for that man, pause, and I'd fight for that man, absolutely. And that's what the Lions have done. And they, man, they fought for Goff, they fought for Dan Campbell, and that team is set up better than most of the teams in the NFC, not named the San Francisco 49ers. And like I said, like for future down the road, Jimmy, Lions have the second best fucking future in the NFC. You can't tell me the Eagles. Can't tell me the Cowgirls. You can tell me the 49ers. That's the one team. The Lions have the second best future in the NFC. Like, there is a bad NFC South. The NFC, outside of maybe the fucking Packers, where the conversation can come up, they have the second best future and the second best longevity possibility in this conference. And it's a great time to be a Detroit sports fan, especially if you're a Michigan, Aiden Hutchinson, Detroit Lions fan.
The Michigan connection, it just seems like it's the season. I kept reacting to it because that's how I'm not used to success. But people were it reminds me of the Bengals a few years ago. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're talking about the Bengals like you're talking about the Lions? And then I thought about it. Yeah, it's Cinderella. My family adopted this team at the beginning of the season. I think I said that after watching opening night. We adopted this team, watching them beat the Chiefs, and we're like, we're a family full of offensive linemen. This is a team full of really good offensive linemen, and they are trying to perfect that position. And guess what? You shut down Aaron Donald, who is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer and go down as probably the most difficult three technique to block in his generation. And he was off the field more than he was on the field at times. You nullified him that much. Now, it was double teams. It was scheme. They were doing a lot of the right things. They were hitting everybody on every play. And that's a little bit funny to say because it's a Dan Campbell coach team. And I know that he was on the 0-16 Lions, but you know what other team he was on? The 0-9 Saints.
That's true.
So that's where the biting the kneecaps come from and breaking your jaw. And I don't care if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass. Yeah, he almost ended Brett Favre's life because there was like an extra $100 pinned to the whiteboard that week. The Lions, man, they're built for playoff football. They're built to travel because what travels? Running games. Doesn't matter if they go outside. Run with Jameer Gibbs, run with David Montgomery, and get the ball to 14. All their receivers, man. That was a coming out party for their Laporta,
Josh be the
Reynolds, Jameson Williams
next year. Like this Lions team has unbelievable weapons. And look, you can say what you want about Jared Goff and how probably he's probably not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But I would highly doubt that there's only one team that has better weapons than the Detroit Lions across the board right now, and it's the San Francisco 49ers. Like they have the cream of the crop of receivers, tight ends, fullbacks, running backs. Like, they have everything you could want on an offensive line and offensive weapons. And, man, like I said, it's very, very good to be a Detroit Lions fan.
So you're making me stand on the island against San Francisco. I see how it is. When we get to that preview, I'll have to explain that to the listeners. But I'm currently in a little bit of a mini war here through the Variety Sports Network. And, unfortunately, it's the show with one of my better friends and the guy that I do a lot of work with. We'll get to it. Last game, now we don't have to touch too much on this. I think the two main points from the Bills Steelers is that Buffalo They should have had this game more in hand for the most part. But they did Buffalo and kept it close for a while. But the big story after the game was Mike Tomlin. He was not even asked the full question about his contract. He has one more year left on his deal. The reporter was trying to say, after your contract, do you see yourself staying? Which is a tough question, but as a professional, as a coach like that, you are part of the money that you make, and part of the responsibility on you is to speak to the media and to answer questions. And you don't have to give a direct answer. You don't have to sit here and say, yes, I'm going to start renegotiations right now.
Belichick's done it for 30 years.
Just say, I'm going to be here for next year. That's all you got to say, because that's truthful. That's factual. I am here for one more year. To my knowledge, I'm here for one more year. I don't know what this family is going to do. Pittsburgh doesn't fire anybody. Pittsburgh has not fired a coach. They just let you get to the end of the contract, and then they say, okay, thank you. Please walk out the door. There's a CBS job waiting for you, big guy.
I really don't understand how he could even be remotely in the hot seat, like even remotely. Look at the talent that he – look at the playoff resume. Look at how many winning seasons he has. Look at who's played quarterback for this fucker. Big Ben, at the end of his career, last 4 or 5 years, was ass. Absolutely booty cheeks ass. To then go from him to fucking Mason Rudolph to then Mitch Trubisky to now Kenny Pickett and then back to Mason Rudolph and still not have a losing season? Like, you don't look – I get that there's a high standard in the NFL. I would – Mike Tomlin would be the number one fucking head coaching candidate in the league every day the second he gets fired or gets let go of his contract. This isn't a Bill Cowher situation where Bill Cowher was like, "Yeah, it's time to fucking move on. I'm going to retire and go do that." Mike Tomlin is still a damn good coach. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Mike Tomlin walks, there should be a party thrown in Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. And it should be a fucking rager of all you guys be like, "Holy shit, the fucking run's over." Because I don't understand how the Steelers fan base can sit here and fucking say he's on the hot seat, Jimmy. Look at the roster he dealt with. T.J. Watt didn't play. Yeah. Fucking
T.J. Watt's been injured. Ask me who their last playoff win was, though.
I don't know.
It was the Bengals. It was the Vontaze Burfict, Antonio Brown game. That's their last playoff win.
Say what you want about playoff success. I will sign up for fucking Mike Tomlin getting my
team. You just talked about Dan Quinn for like 20 minutes about how regular season doesn't matter.
But the man has a Super Bowl.
What?
As the head coach.
One, and he had Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, and Le'Veon Bell all at the same time.
How bad Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, and Mitch Trubisky are?
I get that, but why does he only have one Super Bowl?
They made the playoffs this year over half of the teams in the league. That they made it over the Chargers with Herbert. Yeah, he was injured. They made it over you guys who were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Yes, Burrow went down, but Browning, I would argue and say, is better than those quarterbacks over there.
They probably is Browning, so I'm not saying anything about that. No,
all I'm saying is Browning's better than those quarterbacks. He made the playoffs still. Yeah, the playoff success is terrible, and at some point you have to take a long look in the mirror and be like, what's the problem here? Because it's sure as hell not the fucking culture. It's the fucking personnel.
They're old.
When you make the playoffs every year, it's not coaching. It's personnel. When you have a winning record, it's not – and I will stand on this. Coaching the NFL is fucking undervalued to a T. Because look what good coaching did. Dan Campbell fucking coached circles. Matt LaFleur coached circles around Dan – or sorry, not Dan Quinn. Dan Campbell coached circles around Sean McVay's defense. You had Dan Quinn was circled around by Matt LaFleur all night long. You had the great defensive mind of D'Amico Ryans coached circles around Kevin Stefanski and Joe Flacco. Coaching matters in this league. And right now, the Steelers cannot go out there and get somebody better than Mike Tomlin. Guaranteed. They need to look inside and be like, you know what? We have a top five defense. What the fuck's the problem? Oh, that's right. We only score fucking 14 points a game. Maybe we should think something out, figure something out on that end before firing.
I think they're good scoring 14 points a game.
Yeah. You should throw a damn fucking parade if they fire Mike Tomlin, because
it'll be bigger than when the Bengals fired Marvin Lewis. I'm going to throw a bigger party than when that happened, because I never thought I'd live to see the day.
Because Mike Tomlin, like I said, there's no one, there's it's the meme going around. There is no one that coaches harder than Mike Tomlin with a under 500 season on the line.
I'm just picturing the Tim Tebow promise. There's no team that is going to play harder to get over 500 in the rest of the season. There is no team that will do just enough, even if we get outgained by 200 yards, to be right in the middle of it. We win by a field goal. We have the best kicker. You will not see another team play that hard again. God bless. Thank you. That's what you have to say at the podium. I'm just thinking, like, I feel like he's sick of hearing it, which makes me believe that Pittsburgh is starting to
turn. He may be done with it. That may be the difference. He may be fucking done with it because he may be like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Like, I've done so much for you. Not losing season fucking 20 years. Like, fuck off if you don't fucking appreciate me because of dealing with this bullshit. Because he dealt with Antonio Brown, dealt with the whole Le'Veon Bell situation, dealt with Big Ben Roethlisberger, dealt with these horrendous quarterbacks, and he still doesn't have a losing season under his thing. Jimmy, do you know how hard it is to win football games in the NFL? Yeah. It's remarkable. It's unbelievably remarkable. Like the only person that has done this sustained success this long for this good was fucking Bill Belichick. And I'm not saying that Mike Tomlin is Bill Belichick, but the ability to get his team in a position to win every fucking game they play, no matter the talent, there is not anyone better in the league than Mike Tomlin. There isn't. And I will stand on that.
I want the Steelers to fire Mike Tomlin, and they need to bring in Nathaniel Hackett. Yeah, they just got to loosen up a little bit. Pickens and Washington are not happy there under Mike Tomlin. They need to have a little bit of fun. Put the ping pong table back in the locker room, Nate. Go over there and enjoy Pittsburgh. I think they're going to like you. I don't think that they're going to be angry at all. They're not going to be upset with you after losing and not putting up more than 10 points. That would be nice for me. I'm just saying. Can they please miss on a coach whenever it happens? If it's this season or next season, I just want them to miss and experience that one time.
If they pull the trigger on Tomlin early, then don't worry. That'll be a guarantee.
You say that, but people thought they were going to miss Cowher, and they did not miss a beat. People thought they were going to miss Chuck Noll. Tomlin
was in the system, and he was part of Cowher, and like it was still like the next guy down. There isn't a fucking next guy down. It goes back to the
70s. They do have a different situation now, but I'm just saying it goes back to the 70s. Like Chuck Noll was the coach, and then it turned over to Cowher. I'm hard pressed. I don't think that if there was, I don't think that there's another coach outside of those three for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They weren't good up until, let's see. What do you think about that? Cowboys or Eagles? Could he take them to the Super Bowl?
Eagles,
or is it just going to be an over 500 season?
Eagles guaranteed. Cowboys, the Cowboys will shoot themselves in the foot just because of the Cowboys. But Eagles, guaranteed. I would put it on my life that if Tomlin was head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, that they'd be a Super Bowl favorite in a heartbeat because of how well-coached they will be and how ready they will be every single game. Guaranteed.
Buffalo deserves a shout-out. The Bills Mafia deserves a shout-out more
than that. That is my other feature, by the way. Buffalo is my
other figured. Feature. That had to be. When you saw the guy sliding down the stands in the snowslide, it's like, oh, Nico's betting on the Bills.
Those poor Steelers fans plowing through the snow to get to their seat and then finding out, actually, this isn't real. It's one up. I was dying laughing.
I can't believe they had as many people out as they did. I can't believe they got the field cleared.
They had people shoveling on Saturday for no fucking reason because it poured harder on Sunday. They're like, yeah, everybody, we're going to do it again. Let's do it all Monday morning.
They were paying people $20 an hour. How much is a flight to Buffalo? Can I make some quick cash? They're also doing overnight shifts. And I don't know if you've ever shoveled snow off of like that massive level of a surface.
You can't pay me enough.
Used to have to in Gunnison. There was one season, and I don't know how he did this, but our head coach, we ended the season in November, and I don't think that it didn't snow all the way into the week before spring ball. And I think it might have snowed that week too. Our practice fields, it was like 800 yards of just grass that all the teams for fall sports practiced on outside. And it was all covered in 4 feet of snow, heavy, slushy snow that had not been moved since November. He walks out the day that we're supposed to be starting spring ball. He goes, oh, I didn't realize there was this much snow. You live in the middle of the mountains. Who's going to move this? Oh, you guys are going to go lift. So you're going to squat 400 pounds, and then you're going to come out here with a shovel, and you guys are going to shovel the snow off the field. I think I heard you, but I couldn't have really heard you, right, Coach? You're going to make us do workouts and then shovel the snow? Like my back goes, I can't feel my and back. And then practice?
What are we talking about?
Oh man. It's we ended up getting it cleared, but it took a solid 4 days, and we had gators with sleds. We had everybody with a truck out there, like load it into your truck and drive it off the field. Oh wait, no, that's ruining the grass. Let's see. We got another comment in here. Under the radar candidate for a head coaching job should be Steve Spagnuolo, Chiefs D coordinator, with how good the Chiefs defense has been playing. That is what they're that's why they're here. That's why they're gonna be taking on Buffalo. I'm interested to see what it's gonna look like on the road. The defense has been great, but you know what the Chiefs X factor is? You know what the Chiefs X factor is. Well,
is she in attendance? That's the
she's X factor. Probably that's she's such a supportive girlfriend, and Travis is such a dick. He didn't go to the Golden Globes, Nico.
Oh man, poor guy.
She's been taking every Sunday out of her schedule, and she's there supporting her man. I'm going to 180 now. All the Swifties hate me. I got to get back on the good side. She is so supportive. And he just doesn't even – it's like he doesn't even look up at her in the stands. Oh, he can't see her in the 80,000 other people that are out there in red? Yeah, she's the one wearing red. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, she's the one in the heated suite, Jimmy, wearing red.
I can't see her through the tinted glass because she's in one of those rich people cages.
Yeah, that's the X factor. I don't know. It's probably Chris Jones, and I would guess the
back end. No, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's
– Patrick Mahomes run, kick-started their Super Bowl, the first one. Patrick Mahomes got them their Super Bowl last year. Probably gonna.
He's the best quarterback in football when he's on his game. And this team has been hot and cold this season. Obviously, when it comes to postseason, it's a light switch that just flickers on better than anybody in the league today in today's game. So we'll see. Because like I said, unfortunate for Patrick, this is his first ever road playoff game, first ever. He's been in the league for 5-6 years now. What has it been, 2019, 2018?
Seven?
Whatever it was. I don't know.
I think it was 2016. It was the year after because he beat Simeon in his debut.
Sounds about right. Either way, first road playoff game. That's asinine. And you're not just going to fucking Miami, Florida. You're going to Buffalo, baby. You're going to fucking Buffalo. All those years of Buffalo having to go to Kansas City, they're like, nah, it's our turn. Come to our
turn. Come on. I just want to play.
Come to our turn. It's our turn.
I just want to play. I'm not going to hit. Why do I have this brick? Oh, I hit myself in the head with the brick. I hit you with my fists. You're not tough enough coming from Kansas City if I punch you coming from Buffalo.
Kansas City has a fan base that goes out and robs banks and wolf masks. The Buffalo Bills fans will light a table on fire and go Jeff Hardy through that shit, okay? There's levels.
And nobody's on the table. Nobody's just jumping through it. It's Swanton bombing nothing. It's amazing what a couple Busch Lights will do for you, huh? Divisional round preview. Let's get into it. I have the current pickup standings. So we had 4 games correct out of the 6. We each have 20 points. It's a dead even tie right now. If we pick all the same teams in the games, what we decided was we would either go with picking a spread or picking an over or under for one of the games. We can't pick that out of the same game. So hopefully, it might come back to bite the both of us. It might end up helping us out a little bit, but we'll see where that goes. We're kicking things off. In the Saturday slot, number 1 seed in the AFC taking on the AFC South Texans. AFC South champion, Houston Texans.
That's brutal. Yep,
favored by 9.
That's
brutal. And that's live. Like, this is live. Live Thursday night. This is what I saw on ESPN looking up and putting these into our studio for the show tonight. That is as close to live as you can get. 9 points. They have zero faith in the Houston Texans.
Look, there's a couple reasons reasons why this line is so interesting. One, Mark Andrews practiced last week. Take that what you will. Mark Andrews looks like a game time decision for Saturday's game. That's crazy to think. Absolutely crazy to think. That think he's going to come back and run out there and be a number one option again. If the Ravens have Mark Andrews, this line just gets even sweatier. I would say the fucking double digits.
Zone. Oh, here we go, Nico. You ready for this? So the last time the Ravens were the number 1 seed, they were favored against the Tennessee Titans by 8.5.
Yeah, Titans, I think, shocked them. The other side of this coin that I was talking about, the Ravens haven't played their guys in 2 weeks. This is the same thing for the 49ers, right? The 49ers and the Ravens both had the number 1 seed going into week, what was it, 18 now, or week 19, yep, whatever the fuck it's called, week 18. So they didn't play anybody. They did not play anybody. And to have 2 weeks off, I'm not saying that it causes problems, but I will say it'll make these games closer than what they will. It'll make these games closer than what they will, is all I'm going to say. Because 2 weeks off for Lamar, Zay Jones, J.K. Dobbins, I don't even know J.K. Dobbins is the running back here. Gus Edwards.
J.K. Dobbins is in season IR.
Gus Edwards, like, yep. It's going to affect this. I would, my prop may eventually go Texans +9, but I'm going to pick the Ravens here because I think that they're the better football team. And I think where it may bite them in the ass will be the AFC Divisional Championship. And I don't think it's going to be here, but I love what the Texans have done. And I cannot stress enough how good of a team they are and how great of a future they have. But I cannot not pick the Ravens here. I just can't. I even 2 weeks off, they have Andrews back. If they don't, this team is just too talented this year. And I just think that this team is just better. And I think the Texans got their one win. I think that I'm not going to say they sit there that they're happy that they got the one win, but I think that they can look at the season as a massive positive, even with this loss.
I think that they're playing with house money, which also I think makes them dangerous. I think they're dangerous because of the big number. I think they're dangerous because of C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. I think that they're dangerous because they've played the Baltimore Ravens this season. That was the week one opener for both teams. The Texans lost 25-9, but that Texans team and that C.J. Stroud – is not the team Davis that we've seen.
Start that? Was Davis Mills started that game? I don't even know. Because I don't know if CJ Stroud started the opener. He might have. I may be wrong, but that team was way.
It was Stroud. Stroud went 28 of 44 for 242 yards that day. So they've played, which we've said it's very difficult to do, especially in professional sports, beat a team twice. It's been so long that kind of goes out the window. But maybe the Ravens kind of rest on their laurels. Hey, we're the number one seed. We get a team that we didn't expect to be here. We thought we were going to have to play the Browns for the third time, and we didn't want to do that. So now we get the Texans. Okay. And maybe they're just resting a little bit too much. Maybe that's going to come back to bite them because they've sucked in the playoffs. The closest they came to winning a playoff game in the Lamar Jackson era was last season with Tyler Huntley at quarterback in Cincinnati.
It's true. They have not performed well. I think that first year, honestly, with Lamar, I think they might have got to the NFC Divisional. Maybe championship. I don't remember exactly off the top of my tongue, but either way, it was very, very young. And the team isn't a playoff performer. Harbaugh luckily has that experience. And I look to this defense, and I think that this defense is not as good as the other teams that left. Plain and simple. I frankly don't think it's a better defense than the Texans. I don't think it's better than Buffalo's. I know it's not better than Kansas City's. And on the other side, we can have that conversation too. But that's where I think that this is going to struggle. And Lamar's going to have to put up points, which he's shown he can do. But we'll see if he can continue that to get this team back to the Super Bowl. I'm going to go Ravens. Like I said, I'm going to Ravens. I believe in the Texans, and I believe that they'll cover. But I physically cannot sit here and say a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, yes, it was a great story last week, can go on the road in Baltimore, because Baltimore is not the nicest town in the world. That's all I'm going to say. It's not the friendliest either. It's right there with Philly.
You've ever seen The Wire, you understand. I've been told that that's like very accurate as to how life goes in Baltimore. We're not going to need the props.
You're going to Texas?
I didn't want to pick all the same games. Go ahead.
Pat Bowlen said, "No Bronco fan should ever root for divisional opponent success." And I think that you should stand true. I would also do it because I'm going to do it in the next game we pick probably. But I do not hate you for that.
It's that, but it's also like I missed out. I was happy that the Bengals were winning, but I picked them every round in the playoffs that year that they made it all the way to the Super Bowl to lose. So I didn't get to enjoy being out in front of it. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm a Bengals fan, but I'm sure to some people that stumbled upon our show during that time, they probably thought I was fair weather. But no, man, like
it's just, I
want to be a part of this train. It took me a while to jump on. It took them a while to qualify for the playoffs. So let's be fair about that, Houston fans. I've had a team make a Cinderella run. Everybody keeps comparing you to my old team. Maybe it's good for me to jump on at this point. And if you lose, I don't know what I'm going to do for you all, but you're never going to see me anyways unless we get way bigger. So tell your friends that you need to beat me up if the Texans do lose. But I'm going Texans. I'll pick the Texans against the Ravens any day of the week.
I don't hate it.
Next game up on Saturday, we're just going to go down the order that we're going to be able to see them. Packers at 49ers. 49ers favored by 9.5. That is the biggest line of any game this weekend. I think that's a bigger slight to the Cowboys because they did not take anything from that performance that the Packers
I know the Cowboys wouldn't have matched up with the 49ers if they won, but what do you think the line would have been? I think Cowboys 49ers game? I think it would have been 2.5 if it's San Francisco.
Are we saying in divisional? Because they could have met in the AFC Championship.
If it was a championship, I would have probably – I think it would have been San Francisco 2.5. I think arguably – It would be a pick-em. I really do think that. And it's wild that 9.5. And, look, I get Jordan Love going on the road to San Francisco is a different story, but – Those are two tough lines. Those are very, very tough lines.
It's big. It's a good thing that we don't have to incorporate those into our picks. I am going to go the 49ers, but I'm going based on my early 2000s, late 90s NFL history. The Owens play, Steve Young beat the Packers in the playoffs quite a bit. 49ers seem to have the Packers number in the playoffs. This is going to probably make one of our 49ers fans that we have here on the network very happy having to hear these words come out of my mouth, but they're the best team in the NFC that's left. Anybody else that goes in there and beats them, it's going to be an upset.
They'll be the favorite.
It's going to be a massive upset. If you beat the 49ers in the NFC on your way to the Super Bowl, you know that you're ready. You know that your team has a shot this year. I think they're the litmus test. That's who you have to go through this year if you want to play in the Super Bowl in the NFC. Is the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm sticking with our boys. I'm sticking with our Cherry Creek grad, Kyle Shanahan.
I will also be going 49ers here. The Packers should scare 49ers fans is all I'm going to say. This team has nothing to lose. Nothing. They surprised themselves making the playoffs. They surprised themselves absolutely punking the number two seed at home. They were the last team in the NFC. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
They were
first the last Kevin team to win ever.
Last team in the playoffs, and they went in there and punked Dallas, and I think they would love nothing more to even add to that resume and say we just knocked off two of the biggest powerhouses in the NFC's history, and it'd be sweet psalm song. I'm going for Niners though. I will say this, and I'm going to get slack for this if our boys are listening. I think Jordan Love could outplay Brock Purdy in this game.
Ooh, I didn't have to say it.
I'll be the one to say it. I could see him out.
I second everything that he says.
And that's all I'll say. I'm still picking 49ers to win though. Guess
who's going to win this game for San Francisco? Not Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel. It's the defense. Fred Warner, Nick Bosa.
Fred Warner.
Didn't they add Chase Young too? Yeah, they added Chase Young along with Nick Bosa.
Gregory. Randy Gregory. look, straight up right now, I'll be first to say this. If the 49ers don't win the Super Bowl, it's a fucking travesty. Because I think that they will be the favorite against every team that they play if they go all the way. Every team. They're a favorite over, obviously, the Packers. They'll be a favorite over the Lions. They'll be a fucking 12-point favorite against the Buccaneers if they win. They'll be a favorite over Baltimore, in my opinion. They'll be a favorite over Texans for sure. Bills, I would probably say a favorite to maybe 2.5. And I think Chiefs may be the only team that it'd be close. But I think the 49ers will be favored over every team that they play, plain and simple. They will be the betting favorite easily throughout the whole playoffs. And like I said, they're the most talented team on paper, and last year they were Josh Johnson at quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl. So we'll see if Brock Purdy can show that he's the guy and that he can win it on his own.
I think everybody, all the bench warmers, should listen to the next Fat Boy Fadeaway episode and let Tyler know Brock Purdy is not an MVP candidate. He's not an MVP caliber quarterback. He is not on the same level as Peyton Manning, not on the same level as Tom Brady, not in that class, not even close. He's got a few more prerequisites to go if he wants to get into that class. That's our message to 49ers Nation. We're picking you, but it's not because you have the MVP at quarterback. It's because you have the MVP at running back. That's why we're picking you. The guy that almost played quarterback for you in last year's NFC Championship game. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too soon? Should I not mention pain when it's a good time? It's a good memory now, right?
Yeah, poor Josh Johnson. Poor Josh Johnson.
Yeah. Buccaneers-Lions. First game on Sunday, NFC Divisional Round.
These Lions fucking suck, man. I hate them. I hate them. But look, I'll keep it short.
You probably like the next one.
I'm picking fucking Detroit. I'll tell you that right now. You bet your ass I'm picking fucking Detroit. I'm all aboard the Detroit Lions train. They're my Cincinnati Bengals. They're my Philadelphia Eagles of last year. They're my sweetheart. They're my darlings, the NFC darlings. They're the team that I consider getting a Barry Sanders Lions jersey. I've considered it, is all I'm going to say. Because I have a jersey collection, and I collect jerseys, and I love my whole jersey collection, and I think a Lions one would look pretty nice to wear, because I have a Josh Allen jersey, and you bet your ass I'll be wearing it when they play the Chiefs. So I will be riding Lions, and look, I'm not going to say who I'm not going to pick next week's show, pick them next week already, but I will say there's a very good chance I pick the Lions go to the Super Bowl, and I cannot. It is January 18th. 8:45 p.m. in the year of 2024 of our Lord and Savior, and I just said I am picking the Detroit Lions to make the Super Bowl. I cannot believe I just said that, but I am drinking the Kool-Aid, Jimmy. This is the team I am drinking the Kool-Aid, and I am chugging that shit is all I'm going to say. So give me the Detroit fucking Lions.
I think that's
– And emphasis on the fucking, because they fucking deserve it. Detroit motherfucking Lions. Thank you. Don't get us demonetized on.
It's only going to be about there. Okay. Yeah, everybody knows the song. I don't need to play any more of it. You guys all know it, but that's going to be, if Dan Campbell isn't playing that when he wakes up, when he goes to bed, when he eats his breakfast, drinks his double espressos with black eyes,
goes over to the mom's spaghetti restaurant, eats it over there for dinner,
vomits on his sweater, doesn't change his sweater before the game. Because why not? Why would I? It's extra food now. I can just don't do that, Dan. Don't do that on national TV. I am also going with the Lions. The Buccaneers, good story. It could be close because the Lions play close games. I don't think I agree with you. 6.5 is not the line that I would have chosen for this game. This is a 4, maybe. 4.5, 3.5, somewhere right in there. But the Lions should be favored. I agree with you. I think that they have a very good chance to possibly represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I saved it for last so that you can get all your venom, all that. Bills Mafia, you are going to love the next however long this segment goes of the podcast, because Nico's going to go off because he hates this team in red that's coming over to Bills territory. Bills Mafia, you guys got to make sure that Tay-Tay, Kelsey, Mahomes, they all feel super comfortable, okay? Don't rile them up. You don't want them mad. No, fuck that. Punch them all in the mouth. Hit them all.
Look, I will
kill them all. We'll let the paramedics sort them on the way out.
I'll put it this way. There's an old friend of mine that I went to school with in Augustana, and for Halloween he wore a Travis Kelce shirt jersey, and he's a Bears fan, unfortunately, and I feel bad for him. And he wore a Travis Kelce shirt, and his girlfriend was wearing a Taylor Swift outfit, and I thought to myself, what would ever happen if I had a girlfriend that would consider being like, you know what, I think we should be Taylor and Travis for Halloween. And I get it, we're talking about Halloween on January 18th, but I think this goes together. I would rather fucking die, jump off a cliff, fucking jump into shark-infested waters with blood all over me. I would rather get thrown into a lion's den than wear a Chiefs red, Oakland Raiders black and silver, or Lakers purple and gold on my fucking body is all I'm going to say. I am no way in hell picking a damn Chiefs here, and the Buffalo Bills are the – thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. I haven't seen that one in a while. All right, the Buffalo Bills are the hottest team in football. You go to fucking cold Buffalo. Haley Steinfeld will be in the suite next to Taylor, and she's all – look, I'm not here fucking saying women – I'm not objectifying. This is not the type of show. But Haley Steinfeld is much more attractive than Taylor Swift. Fight me, Swifties. And Jimmy, you could probably back me.
She's a better singer. Pitch Perfect.
I can't go that far. I cannot go that far.
Oh, you love Pitch Perfect. Everybody loves Pitch Perfect.
Either way, Haley Steinfeld's fucking baddie, and Josh Allen has done well for himself. And I will be picking the Buffalo Bills because no one circles the wagons like Buffalo's, especially at fucking home. Because I know the Bills have – the Bills, when they saw that Week 17 game, Week 18, whatever the fuck it was, Week 18 game with a chance to hold the number 2 seed, they knew that not only would you get a chance – to host a playoff game, win your division, you knew this would be a possibility. You knew that that motherfucker over there that has never played a fucking road playoff game in his life will get a fucking chance to do it this week. And it's going to be Buffalo's time to shine. And it's funny because I love Von Miller. Von Miller has been a fucking healthy scratch the last couple weeks. And he's not played. But this Bills defense with Jordan Poirier, Micah Hyde, and the great running game of James Cook. James Cook has shown out very, very well. I'm telling you right now, there's a very good chance I empty my fucking account on the Bills minus 3. Okay, I am drinking the Bills Mafia Kool-Aid, and I will not be. And I will be kicking the shitter can of the Kansas City Chiefs. It is not your time. It's Buffalo's time. Give me the underdogs or the underdog quote unquote, the team that has not won it all ever for that matter. I think it's Buffalo's time to shine. The last couple of years, I don't think they're ready. I really don't think they're ready. But it took. Sean McDermott, the ISIS jokes, unfortunately, to come out for this team to go on a fucking 7-game winning streak. But here we are. So all I'm going to say is 7-game winning streak, and I'm not going to make those jokes, but it took that for them to go 7-0, and I will be taking the Buffalo Bills. I would love it. I would love to see the Buffalo Bills make a run to the Super Bowl. I would love to see anybody that Taylor Swift come across my time, especially after what those fuckers did after the game they played. What was it, week 15, week 16? With the whole, that was bullshit. Remember that, Jimmy? That was bullshit. You took a great play away from Travis Kelce because he was offsides. That was the game, Jimmy. You remember that? Yeah. I remember that. That was the last game these two teams played. Let's not forget. That was the last two times. And Josh Allen said, great game. Pastor, I can't believe it. I was robbed. No respect to Buffalo.
They're not going to be able to play that play in the Hall of Fame. They're not going to be able to show that because of some offside penalty.
10 out of 10 impression. Kermit the Frog right there. I think Buffalo has a chip on their shoulder. I really do. And Kansas City does not. Give me the Buffalo Bills. I will say it again. Give me the Buffalo Bills. I'm not going to say F to the Swift because that will get me canceled and get the show canceled. Fuck the Chiefs. Go Bills.
This game is on CBS, so we're going to have Tony Romo screaming in our ear about how good
at least it's not Collinsworth, because Collinsworth would be stroking off Mahomes on the sideline if he was there.
I feel like it's a toss up between who goes at Mahomes harder, and there's no pause on that with either of those two. But
or Brittany, I would argue say Collinsworth probably goes at him harder than Brittany.
Oh, that would be Al Michaels who was it? Brent Musburger. Brent Musburger was the AJ McCarron's girlfriend guy. Man, you want to play quarterback at Alabama? Get you some of that, Brent. You're 60. She's 20. Lay off, dude. Back off. I'm going with the Bills. I see this. And I don't know. Because sometimes you have to beat the curse in order to do what you want to do. There's a lot of curses that Buffalo has to beat. Because if they make it to the Super Bowl, what's everybody going to say? 4 straight AFC championships and you lost all 4.
It's a lot. There's a lot. And look, it's not easy for them because obviously if they win, they probably will have to go to Baltimore. If they host Texans and they don't make the Super Bowl, oh boy. That's all I'm going to say. If they
– D'Amico.
But it's going to be tough these next two rounds. And I'll tell you one thing. If they beat the Chiefs and the Ravens in back-to-back weeks, they're going to be ready for anybody the NFC has to show, plain and simple.
Yeah. All right. Those are our picks. We are different on the Texans and Ravens, so that's going to be the deciding game. I'm either going to go up by 10 points or you're going to go up by 10 points. Other than that, we are on the 49ers, the Lions, and the Bills. We're going to wrap the show up. There is a UFC event coming up. This is one of their throwaway events, I would say. It's a pay-per-view. They're trying to just work their way up to 300, so they have to get this one out. 297, Strickland versus Duplessis. It was intense before. I can't remember what the fight was where they got into a little bit of a scuffle, but since Strickland jumped over, I think
it was the last pay-per-view.
It probably was 296, but since UFC 296 and Strickland told Gilbert Burns' family, hey, move over because I'm going to fuck that guy up. And they did. They obliged, and he jumped over the third row into the fourth to try and go after Duplessis. This fight has taken on just a whole new animal. It goes back to the last conversation that we had about the UFC. We both said we're kind of sick of all of this. Like, there's trash talk. There's selling a fight. Then there's going a little bit too far.
Too far. I think
if you talk about family, if you talk about trauma, if you talk about abuse willingly just to sell views on a fight, yeah, dude, I would turn around and try and kick your ass too. I'd tell an elderly woman to get out of my way if she was standing there. There's not much that I wouldn't do if I was in Strickland's situation. He kind of held himself back because he could have hit him a lot harder.
And I will say, I don't know when this video came out, but I did see a TikTok. It was either today or yesterday where they shook hands in the hall. I think they're in Australia. Are they in Australia? No, they're in Vegas. They might be in Vegas. I don't know. I think they're on
enemy Toronto, Scotiabank Arena.
In Canada, it was way fucking off. I ain't close. Either way, they shook hands in the hall or something. I think I saw a video of. So maybe things are a little bit clearer, and they may have apologized for the way things that they said. But man, these are two guys that it's hard to just get up for. Pause. It's hard to be like, oh, I fucking signed me up for Strickland. Oh, sign me up for Duplessis fight. This isn't a card that I'm gonna sit here and be like, oh man, it's must watch. This is I need to turn my eyes to the TV right now to watch these two dudes just absolutely knock the shit out of each other. And look, they probably will. They're two damn good fighters. They're both very, very hard nosed, great chins, and they'll probably be a good fight, but it's just tough to pick one of these guys when both guys are not
I don't root for either of them. I will say that what I'll give out as what I know about these two, if it goes into rounds 3, 4, 5, Strickland's probably going to win. Whether it's a finish late because Duplessis is tired, but Duplessis, he's a big guy. He carries a lot of muscle and he sprints. He sprints for those like first third. He's very similar to Yoel Romero, who used to run roughshod in this division. He's got like 30 seconds of each round that he's going to go hard as he can. But outside of that, it's very much conserve my energy. If I can land a big shot, I will, but I'm not doing much. I'm tired. I can't move. And Strickland just deals with the fire. What I will say about Sean Strickland is that his mental toughness, everybody in the UFC is very mentally tough, but his is on a different level because he can sustain a lot of punishment. He can sustain a lot of pep pressure, and he will continue to move forward. And if he continues to move forward on Duplessis, he could get caught. Not many people know how to fight out of the Philly shell still. Floyd Mayweather did it for 30 years and nobody learned how to. You put your shoulder one place and everybody's like, oh, I can't hit him. What do I do? All right. I think that's a good way to end this show. We made some picks. We talked a lot of football. If you're tuning in for our other sports analysis, I'm sure Nico's got basketball on the TV.
We are still paying attention. Brucey B got traded.
Brucey B?
Brucey B got traded. He's a Toronto Raptor now, unfortunately. Poor guy. Deserves better. Come back home, Bruce. Come back home.
Brucey, we miss you. Be sure, like I said at the beginning of the show, follow, subscribe wherever you're watching this. If you're watching on our channel, subscribe, like the video. Tell us how much you like it in the comments. If you're watching on VSN, do the same. Be sure to follow at FEOTBpod on all social media platforms. Follow at @variety_sports_. Keep checking out both our show, our content, and the VSN content that we're both involved with. We really enjoy working with those guys, and they're doing a lot of great things. Excuse me if I can get through the outro without absolutely making everybody sick to their stomach. Nick, it was a good episode. I'm glad we got it done. We'll be back live next week a little bit earlier on. I'll make sure that I put out an update before we go live so that everybody isn't surprised like they were this time. But it was a good show. Got a few comments. Got a few people tuning in. And we talked a lot of good ball. I think that's the big thing.
Oh, it's like I said, the playoffs is the best time of the year, and this is our hot season, Jimmy. This is the time where we sleep in May.
May, yes, because right? March Madness April, technically goes all the way through April.
And hockey and basketball now go through April.
Well, actually, we don't sleep until July.
Yeah,
and then training camp starts.
And then PLL starts, and then I'm really fucked. So
you're gonna be working pretty quickly here. You only got like a month left.
This time next month I'll be in Washington D.C. So mm-hmm. we'll get some updates on all that before I leave. That's the week after the Super Bowl. So I'm excited. But yeah,
there you go.
The season's around the corner.
Are they going California Redwoods for the champ series, or is it just still PLL Redwoods?
It is California Redwoods. We are I'm representing the same state as the Lakers and the Chargers and Clippers and all that. We're the premier team. We're the premier team. Is all I'm going to say. The best team in California, and I really can't really say that, but I believe it. So it's the only team I care for in the California.
And with that, episode 168 live of the Far End of the Bench podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, watching, listening. We enjoy all of our bench warmers. We will see you guys back next week.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.